Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is a jam-packed show of Offsides with Mark and Lonzo right here on ESPN Upstate. Man, we do it each and every day at this time. It is a ton of fun, especially. I love these shows where you have breaking news that hits you right in the face in the middle of your show. You know, I will tell you, there have been days in this industry where you have like a great show lined up, and then you get upset because there's something big that breaks and all of your hard work flushes down the toilet, right? You can't get to any of the things you wanted to get to. But today, the breaking news is meaty, it is sexy, it is interesting, and I love that the breaking news has accompanied us in studio today. Three breaking stories over the course of the show today. What better time to get to them than the top three at three? All right. In the NFL, Kareem Hunt now has a home. He has been signed by the Cleveland Browns. The Browns get one of the top three running backs in the league, who was released from the Kansas City Chiefs for a domestic violence situation that took place in a hotel room that was caught on video camera. One thing that gets me about this, folks, is I don't like that we need the video for the punishment. I don't like that. I don't like that back in a few years ago, Ray Rice, man, we freaked out and the NFL changed its punishment when we had the video. You know what's on the video. We don't need the video to know what actually took place. Ray Rice admitted to wrongdoing, right? He was suspended for two games by the NFL. That's a complete and total joke, right? But here's the thing. Kareem Hunt did something really, really, really wrong. And if he did it as part of my company, if he did it as part of my team, he wouldn't have a place on my team. But if he rehabilitated himself, if he got himself right, if he showed true contrition, if he apologized to the victim, in time, perhaps I would be supportive of somebody giving him a second chance. That team right now is the Cleveland Browns. The Cleveland Browns have stepped up. They're giving Kareem Hunt another chance. Kareem Hunt now joins Nick Chubb in a very talented backfield that also features Baker Mayfield. And boy, the Cleveland Browns, from a purely football perspective, and I realize this goes far deeper than that, are moving in the right direction, to say the least. A statement from Cleveland Browns general manager John Dorsey. We fully understand and respect the complexity of questions and issues in signing a player with Kareem's history, and we do not condone his actions. Given what we know about Kareem through our extensive research, we believe he deserves a second chance, but certainly with the understanding that he has to go through critical and essential steps to become a performing member of this organization, aside from what the NFL determines from their ongoing investigation. We fully understand that Kareem is subject to discipline by the NFL. Here at the Browns, there's a detailed plan with expectations laid out that he understands and must follow, because any similar incident will not be tolerated. We will support Kareem through this process and utilize our resources, however permitted, to help him become successful on and off the field, as long as he continues to show the commitment necessary to represent this organization. I feel that is very, very well stated. And I can tell you, because I was most recently a teacher in Houston, something I learned from experience. What is the outcome for guys like Kareem Hunt? Well, I can tell you this. Here's what I learned. The outcome for guys like Kareem Hunt, guys like Ray Rice, is much better when what is loved is not taken away from them permanently. If you take football away from them permanently, if he's guilty of an offense that means he should be banned for life, there's a significantly higher rate of this type of event happening again. Right? You want the person to rehabilitate themselves. You don't want one incident where the person acted with poor decision making. You don't want one action to cost him the thing he loves for his entire life. Even if it, as it is in this case, an incredibly bad action that Kareem Hunt committed. Look, if he has rehabilitated himself, I too would be in favor of him getting a second chance, but there would be an absolute zero tolerance policy. This is part of the same little breaking news here today. Eric Reed has signed a 3-year deal with the Carolina Panthers to stay with the Panthers. And this is also another signing that goes deeper than just the headline, right? A 3-year deal for Eric Reed. He became a starter for the Panthers, had 71 tackles, 5 pass breakups, PBUs, and became a starter for this team and was a key contributor when he was signed in the middle of the year. And what this means to me is that I applaud the Carolina Panthers for signing a guy that was very difficult to sign. He was lumped in with Colin Kaepernick in terms of kneeling for the national anthem, and it was tough for the Panthers to stick their neck out on that guy. And he rewarded them by staying out of the limelight for the wrong reasons. He rewarded them by kind of tabling all of this discussion of kneeling for the national anthem. And he rewarded them with good performance on the field. In the end, ladies and gentlemen, it all comes down to this. Is the heaven that you get with anybody in your life worth putting up with the hell for? Right? And with Eric Reed, there is some hell. With Kareem Hunt, there is some hell that you're dealing with there. But when all is told, those teams decided that the heaven that those players provided make them worth it. Eric Reed, key contributor, key signing. I applaud the Panthers for continuing to stick their neck out on this and rewarding a player who should be playing NFL football. Next up, Kyler Murray, additional breaking news, has decided on football. Kyler Murray is going to play football. He's going to be an NFL quarterback. He is putting to bed his dreams of playing Major League Baseball. And while I would have loved to have been selfish watching that Deion Sanders 30 for 30 on ESPN recently, I would have loved to have seen Kyler Murray play baseball and football. I would have killed for that, man. But you can't do that at the quarterback position. There's just too much studying involved. Every time Kyler Murray threw an interception, people would say it was because he wasn't fully devoted to the sport of football. This isn't the cornerback position that Deion played. This wasn't the running back position that Bo Jackson played, where you can largely get by on your true athletic ability. This, the quarterback position, your decision-making, what's going on in your cranium determines whether you succeed or whether you fail. And the decision that Kyler Murray had to make was as follows. He could be anonymous with the Oakland A's and toil on school buses for 3 years going from small town to small town, or he could be, like the Cheers song says, in a place where everyone will know his name. He has the chance to be a household name. He has the chance to be an NFL starting quarterback in the best league in America. And that was too good an opportunity to pass up. Look, a very difficult decision for Kyler Murray, but he is one of the rare guys that I will stop whatever I'm doing, whenever I'm doing it, to watch him play, to watch him perform. And I'm fascinated to see what he'll do at the next level. My prediction, he will be the first quarterback selected. He will move ahead of Dwayne Haskins and be the first quarterback selected in the 2019 NFL draft. And finally, Clemson. What to make of Clemson? So here's the story. Dabo Swinney said over the weekend that Clemson may very well have given players a banned drug by mistake. That is the headline. A quote from Dabo Swinney. There's a chance that it could come from anything. They're going to test everything and look at everything, and that's the problem. As you really look into this stuff, it could be a contaminant that came from anything. That was something that was cleared and not a problem, and all of a sudden, it becomes that there was something. Okay, here's the issue here. First of all, if this came from somebody within the Clemson organization, that person should be terminated. That person should be fired. You have to know what you're giving the players, period. Period. Okay? If it may have come from Clemson, who's responsible for giving the players those things, right? And if that person proves that on the bottles none of that was listed, then you have a major lawsuit against the company that provided the supplement that is causing these positive tests for the steroid Ostarine. Folks, The thing that I don't understand, the thing that's really hard for me right now, is that, you know, a couple weeks ago, Clemson came out and said, we're not going to test all the players on the team for this, and they should, especially now they should, right? I understand. Nobody wants to read a report. No Clemson fan wants to read a report that maybe 20 guys on the team tested positive for Osterine, but that's a harmful substance. And if there's a chance other players may have ingested that, they deserve to know if that substance is in their system, right? It seems like this was an accident. Here's the other thing that bothers me a little bit. The Post and Courier over the weekend posted that they had requested from Clemson, they had emailed Clemson on January 31st asking what supplements football players were offered during the season and who oversees that distribution, and there was no response. Folks, I believe that transparency right now is the best policy. You know, Clemson being open and honest, here are the supplements we provide our players. Here is the trainer who provides the supplement to these players. Because I'll be honest with you, before this story, I didn't know that major college football programs had quote-unquote supplement programs. I thought players used supplements on their own and were responsible on their own. I didn't know they were provided by the school. And if they are provided by the school, what supplements is Clemson giving its players and who's giving them to them? Because clearly it's not being monitored closely enough if players are testing positive for this. Folks, my policy in a relationship has always been as follows. I'll give anybody I'm dating my cell phone and say, I have nothing to hide. I have nothing to hide. Here, look in my phone. Do whatever you need to do. I've never cheated. I'm not going to cheat. I'm a transparent guy. You know, if you don't provide information, it makes people wonder. Do I believe Clemson was voluntarily giving players Osterine? Of course not. I believe this was an accident. But it's a major accident. There's some major information that needs to come out here. And the right move is to test all the players on the team. And the right move is to be forthcoming with the supplements that were given to the players on the team. That's just the bottom line because Mark Ryan said so. All right. All right. Coming up next on this very subject, Brent Beard of First Coast News, a Heisman Trophy voter. We speak to him. We'll ask him about this and what kind of supplement programs do major college programs really have at their school. Brent Beard next right here on Offsides with Mark and Lonzo, ESPN Upstate. The tweets, the texts are flooding in here as we open the show, which is fantastic. We are establishing ourselves as the most interactive sports show in the upstate. Casey Helderman says, in this day and age, it could be an act of sabotage. Can't you hear Beastie Boys in your head? Listen, all y'all, it's a sabotage. Also, they're not obligated to speak to the media. These programs have a right to privacy while they handle this matter. She's talking about Dabo Swinney and the fact that Clemson has not responded to the Post and Courier's request for what supplements the players were given and who distributed the supplements to them. Most programs would like to keep that information private. Yes, Casey, most programs would like to keep that information private. But at this particular point, Osterine is a harmful substance. Clemson has said they have no plans to test the other players on the team. If you don't know where the substance came from, I think you have a responsibility to test the remaining players on the team. That is your responsibility. Secondly, and perhaps most importantly, I'm just a transparent guy. And so when I read in the Post and Courier that Clemson officials have not responded to questions from the Post and Courier emailed on January 31st asking what supplements football players were offered during the season and who oversees that distribution, at this particular point, if nothing had happened, I would say, yeah, who is the Post and Courier to ask that? Clemson's not doing anything wrong. I still don't believe Clemson is consciously doing anything wrong. Okay, I don't believe that to be the case. I would be shocked if anyone affiliated with that university was knowingly giving players Osterine. But when something like this happens, I personally would err on the side of transparency. I would say, here's our supplement program. It's a let's just do this hypothetically here, and then we have Brent Beard joining us. It's each player's choice what supplements they take. A trainer might provide a recommendation. You know, each player has their own individual supplement program. The only person on the Clemson staff that ever recommends any supplements is so-and-so, right? But you wonder, you know, you don't want to have the team, you know, not test players because they're worried that more players are going to test positive. I think at this particular point, every player has a right to know. Joining us right now is a good friend of the show. He is Brent Beard of First Coast News Television in Jacksonville, as well as a Heisman Trophy voter. And he joins us right now. Brent, good afternoon. How are you, my friend?
Mark, I'm doing well. It's good to be with you. And I mean, obviously, this brings up a lot of questions, not only for Clemson, but I think also for other schools as they deal with that. And I mean, we're seeing, basically nutrition buildings, for lack of a better word, that are being built where players can go and get the supplements that often are in. Maybe they're in the food that they get, the Gatorade or Powerade or whatever they get with these dispensers. This is a lot more of an art than it used to be, or science than it used to be. I think these schools, and I agree with you, they go to the nth degree to tell these players, look, this is what we will give you. It's within the NCAA guidelines. We want and need you to stay within those guidelines and not go out and get all this on your own. There have been schools, Mark, over the last two or three years. I know Georgia had a lineman that was suspended with this, and the school went to bat for him. They tested him over and over again that he had a PED that I think actually came from in his body because of a surgery that he had. And it was just hard to get rid of it. So there are multiple tentacles that come out of this.
Yeah. So Brent Beard joining us. Brent, I'm of the belief that Clemson has come out in the last 2 weeks and said no additional players are going to be tested. I have an issue. I take issue with that, and the reason is because if you don't know where it came from, I believe you have a responsibility to see what other players on the team might have a harmful system, harmful substance in their system. The flip side of that is, you know, of course, Clemson doesn't want something coming out that says 50 players on the team tested positive for Osterine. But what they're doing the right thing by investigating the source of the problem here. I just personally would choose to test every player on the team, and I would choose to be more transparent, Brent, than what they're doing. If the Post and Courier, a newspaper out of Charleston here, asks you on January 31st, what supplements are the football players receiving and who's giving those supplements to the players? Under normal circumstances, Brent, I don't think you have a responsibility to reveal that, but when something like this happens, personally speaking, I would choose this. I would err on the side of transparency. I would say, here's what we're giving. Here's what we're taking. Here's where our current mindset is. And we're going to test every player on the team, because if other players on the team have a harmful substance in their system, Brent, they deserve to know about it.
Well, and I think what also goes with this, Mark, is do we really know what these substances are going to do 10, 15, 20, 30 years down the road? I still think some of that's murky if you're a football player or if you're not a football player in what you're ingesting, because there's still a lot of that we don't know right now. But Mark, what is fair, and I get, look, we cover Gators, Noles, Canes, Georgia Bulldogs, SEC and ACC down here. But from the media viewpoint, you know, is it fair to ask these questions? And I think it is. And I think the other thing that you're going to see, and this is not, I don't think this is going to be a great documentary of cover-ups or anything like that. But I think what we're going to see in the next few months, particularly during the off season, are going to be a lot more media scrutiny on just what you're talking about. How does this work? If you're not going to tell us what you're giving them, How does your protocol work within your team? Who do the players go to? How does it decide what they get and what they ingest to help them either gain weight, lose weight, or stay where you are? Who's in charge of that? Who makes those decisions? And the supplements you get, are those supplements with School X? Are they online? Are they from a reputable company?
Yeah.
Do you know about those?
Exactly. Like this doesn't seem to be a very regulated thing. Like I haven't heard of what, you know, I assumed, Brent, that this was every player's individual choice. But, you know, as I've been reading about this, it's, you know, I continue to read about Clemson's supplement program and it just got me thinking. Do other football programs have large scale supplement programs that they give to the entire team? And, you know, Brent, as an example, every once in a while, I'll get a B12 shot, right? Every time after I get a B12 shot, I have more energy for the next 2 or 3 days. Is it common practice to give players B12 shots a couple days before a big game to give them more energy for the big game? Is that a moral or ethical issue? It's kind of something that I hadn't previously considered before this kind of story comes out. And I'm reading about Clemson's supplement program and I'm asking myself, man, what are the regulations and rules and guidelines on a school having a supplement program, right?
Well, and I think, Mark, what this is not so much the media trying to get a school in trouble as much as it is just finding out how this works and are there long-term consequences of this that stretch into later adulthood that are going to be causing problems. I think in fairness, whether it's Clemson or whoever it is, that these schools go to the nth degree of telling their players what they can take and what they cannot take according to the NCAA rules. Now, again, I think the other thing is, I think what people would be interested to know is how much does it cost for your average school to test players? How cost prohibitive would be for some of these schools to test X number of players. I think that's what you're getting at. I think that's what the media is getting at, Mark, is that we're not trying to necessarily tear the curtain down to peek behind it and say that there's something going on. But thankfully the media is there to at least get into some of these things and to investigate because this is in many, many instances that the media can do a lot of good in these times like this.
Yeah, I would completely agree with that, Brent. Now, if you, Brent, could, you know, switching gears here a little bit, can you, you know, I'm interested what you feel about the challenges that Will Muschamp faces in Columbia at South Carolina when you consider, you know, that his fan base is looking at what Clemson has done and they're saying, right, why not us? Why not now? Yeah. Right. Does South Carolina have anything holding it back from a program perspective from achieving what Clemson has achieved?
Well, I think there's a couple ways of looking at that. For what Will has done in getting them into a bowl game on a regular basis, that has to be lauded and applauded. And I've told folks down here that if he continues to get them into a bowl game on an annual basis, like Rich Brooks did at Kentucky for half a dozen years, I mean, at some point there may be a statue of him outside somewhere where they have been.
I mean, Brent, that's funny, but I'll be honest with you, talking to South Carolina fans every day, they take offense to comments like that. They don't want a statue for bowl games. They're saying we want to do what Clemson's doing. Are there disadvantages that South Carolina has that would prevent them from doing what Clemson is doing? Because I'll tell you, Brent, the South Carolina fans I speak to here are why not us, why not now, right?
Well, I can understand that. Absolutely. I mean, look, the you can make here's your argument with this. Are they getting the players that they want? Are they getting the 4 and 5 stars that they need? And I think particularly offensively, where they have struggled over the last few years. Look, I get the frustration, and the question is, what can be done to get this program from a 8-9 median bowl game into winning Eastern Division titles and getting into the playoffs? So I mean, Mark, they're facing the same thing that probably Auburn's going through right now with Alabama. Is as good a program as Auburn has had over the last few years. What are they going to do to be able to deal with an Alabama and get to that level at this point? I mean, look, South Carolina, I think that you can say they've certainly improved their facilities. That necessarily can't be used against them anymore, as far as School X has got this much better facilities necessarily than they do. So, I mean, at this point, I know he's tried to change his staff around and trying to make some improvements there. The unfortunate thing for them is they're in a division where they've got Georgia and obviously Florida building up now. They play Alabama again. But with all that said, and you said the average South Carolina fan that down who's got season tickets, I can understand where they say, I don't want to hear that. Because we can do better, and a lot of schools can say that right now.
Brent Beard is a Heisman Trophy voter, covers college football for First Coast News. You can find him on television in Jacksonville and on radio in Jacksonville. And he brings a national perspective to the show with a special focus on the SEC and the ACC. Brent, always great to talk with you, and appreciate you tackling the difficult topics with me, as this one certainly is. Thank you so much.
Well, and Mark, it's going to be very interesting to see where the media takes this issue during the offseason, because I think they will do a lot more scrutiny with this over the next few months.
Our thanks to Brent Beard for joining us. Lots of good information there. Coming up next, it's time to do a little ditty. We call either or, where we give you two choices. You pick one. Kyler Murray, better or worse in the NFL than Dak Prescott? That's one of the questions we'll ask next, right here on Offsides. Mark and Lonzo, ESPN Upstate. It's Offsides with Mark and Lonzo right here on ESPN Upstate. Great to have you guys with us. We like to do this little ditty each and every day. We call it either or. What is either or? It's two options for you on life and or sports, right? You simply pick one. We encourage your participation on either or, which you can do in any one of a number of ways. 1-844-477-3776 is the number. That's 1-844-GSP-ESPN. The Health There text line is there for you. 71307. Simply start your text with ESPN and away you go. Twitter is there for you, at ESPN Upstate, at Lonzo on Word, at Mark Ryan on Air. That's Mark with a C, M-A-R-C, Ryan on Air. Would love to have you follow us. And you can email me. You can email the show, Mark Ryan at ESPNUpstate.com. Either or starts right now. What do you do, Lonzo? What's up?
I'm one of those days where no one's satisfied with anything, so I am going very simple with mine today.
Okay.
Some would say that I do that every day, but I'm going to go with, you got to go out and buy a new vehicle, especially at your age now, sports car or SUV?
Okay, so I would go sports car, all right? And now, do you need an SUV around here? Do you need it? I mean, is the terrain treacherous enough to where you would need an SUV in our area?
For a while, I think SUVs were the it vehicle, so that was part of it. Or if you're someone like Diesel, you have on occasion want to go mud running.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know.
Generally speaking, I haven't been SUV guy. That doesn't mean I don't understand their purpose. I'll tell you where I don't understand their purpose. In a town like Houston, Texas, where everything is flat, right? And you're just stuck in traffic forever, and that thing's just guzzling gas like you wouldn't believe. So, no, in that case, man, I find sports cars sexy. Sports cars are sexy. They're sleek. They're stylish. Yeah, man, there's no doubt about it. Give me the sports car over the SUV, unless I'm in treacherous terrain where, you know, the Jeep that my old man had way back in the day was needed when we lived in Colorado.
So have you always been that way, or did you progress towards that as you got a little bit older?
I've kind of I thought the Hummers were totally badass for a while. And then like you become more responsible and you're like, oh my God, I can drive down the block with the Hummer and then I have to get it refilled again. Right. I mean, it gets a little bit rough, man, after a while. But no, I'm a sports car guy. What say you?
Well, I was an SUV guy for the last 20 years. When you have children or you have a band or something like that where you have to haul a bunch of things around, then it helps out. But I don't have that problem anymore, so it's definitely sports car all the way. Started out with sports car.
What kind of sports car?
I'm not going to say. It's sitting right out there because I don't want people to know what I'm driving.
You have a sports car out there?
Yes. You park by it all the time or a couple spaces away from it.
Really?
Yes.
Boy, I'm going to have
You can see it from the window right now.
I have a car to key when I get out there.
Yeah, exactly. I always put it where I can see it.
Okay, fantastic.
By looking out either window that I'm in the building.
Okay, sports car all the way. I will report to you what car Alonzo's driving here very shortly.
I'll dump it if you do.
All right, Kyler Murray. Better or worse in the NFL than Dak Prescott? Dak Prescott, how would you describe him? In a word, maybe good, not great, right? But, you know, good enough, perhaps. Kyler Murray, better or worse than Dak Prescott, a similar style of quarterback, one that, you know, can stand in the pocket and throw, but also one that can scramble quite a bit.
Okay, I'm going with Kyler Murray because, you know, Dak Prescott looked impressive when Zeke Elliott was on fire. It made him look better than what he actually is. And I think Kyler Murray has a better shot of being a better quarterback, even if he doesn't have a really good running game.
Kyler Murray as well. I am going Kyler Murray as well. This is bad, Lonzo. You and I agree on the first two. Dak Prescott, I know what he is. On a scale of 1 to 10, he's a 6 on a bad day, a 7 on a good day, right? That's what Dak Prescott is. Accept what he is, be grateful for what he is. But I think Kyler Murray has a chance to be great. And I would always take a chance on greatness if I had the opportunity to do so. Look, I realize the height works against him, but the reality is, look at Russell Wilson, look at Drew Brees, look at Doug Flutie. It's time to put to bed this notion that short quarterbacks can't get it done at the NFL level. So, yeah, sure, with Dak Prescott, you know what you're getting. With Kyler Murray, you don't. But gosh, man, dare to be great. Go with Kyler Murray, and I'm going to go with Kyler Murray being better than Dak Prescott. Next up.
All right, first I have a regional question for you, because around here, hot dogs are really big. I don't know why, they just are. In Texas, was it hot dogs or was it brats?
Oh, it's hot dogs, bro.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Because I'm trying to figure out where brats are, because brats are big in Ohio. And I guess, obviously, like in Green
Nobody
Bay and places
in Houston
like that.
Ever says the word brat. And if you did,
do they say bratwurst?
They tell you you'd have to move.
Okay.
If you use that.
Okay, so we'll just go with hot dog here. Okay, you're getting a nice hot dog, ketchup or mustard?
Listen, I like both, honestly. But if one or the other, I'm a ketchup guy.
You can go with
both. I'm a straight ketchup guy. And can I just tell you, if I may, that the ketchup that's at Trader Joe's is the best ketchup anyone's ever had in their life. It's like seasoned ketchup, man. Trader Joe's, you're going to make me stop there on the way home here today, man. Trader Joe's ketchup is the bomb. Ketchup over mustard on my hot dog. And hot dogs for the win, baby. I'm having chili dogs tonight for dinner, thanks to you.
All right, so I would go with brats, by the way. But that's where I was raised, and I just like brats better than hot dogs. They're both basically packed about the same way. It's pretty nasty if you see what they're made out of. But if I were eating my brat, I would go with ketchup. The only time I eat mustard would be on a hot dog or a brat mixed with ketchup. I don't like mustard alone on anything.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Mustard is kind of, it stings the nostrils, you know?
It does.
It's a little rough, but yeah, definitely a ketchup guy. And for me, final one here of the day, Lonzo here. If you had to have one of the negative happenings happen to you, okay, would you get Mark Ryan's awful haircut, the worst of his life, or would you get a randomly you're driving home and the engine light goes on? Okay, that's always a lovely experience, right? By the way, I'm driving a car right now. I'm not going to share with you what kind mine is, but I'll reveal what Lonzo's driving to you guys when we come back after the break. All right. my car, randomly, the engine light comes on out of, and it gashes my grapes every time that happens. It just is awful, right? So it's like the engine light randomly comes on. It'll stay on for 2 months. In Texas, you have to get an annual inspection on your vehicle. Right. And if the engine light is on, they won't pass your inspection. Right. You don't have to. Do you have to do an inspection here annually?
No.
Thank God, man. That is awful. So anyway, I always love it randomly, like 3 or 4 times a year, my engine light will come on and sometimes it will be a problem and sometimes it won't be. Right. And so if you had to have one of those bad fates, Lonzo, the awful haircut that the host sitting across from you now possesses, the worst of my life. Okay. Or your engine light, check engine light coming on at random, what would you choose?
I can wear a hat. You know, I just got this car. I'm going to be paying forever on it. I don't want an engine light, so I'd rather have the haircut.
You'd rather have the
Yes, I would.
You'd rather have the bad haircut.
As shallow as that sounds, I don't care. I'd rather have the haircut.
Give me the check engine light, man. You don't know what it's like to walk around looking like a cross between a skinhead and a pothole. Okay? You have no idea what that's like, Lonzo. It's a very kind of emasculating experience, man. I mean, I'm supposed to be in here looking professional. I've only been here a few weeks. This is episode 20 of the show. And I'm walking around looking like this. But Lonzo goes, it does kind of look like you have a mohawk. That's a major improvement on what it looked like when I got out of the first barber. So for those of you just tuning in, I got the worst haircut of my life on Friday. Names will be left out to protect the guilty here. But I ended up going to a second, it was a chain place that does haircuts, right? I went to a different one of the same chain. And as soon as I walked in there, the manager goes, oh, dear God, I think I know why you're coming here. Did this happen at one of our locations? And I said, yes, ma'am, it did. She goes, we'll take care of you. Got a free haircut the next time. All that good stuff. It is the worst haircut. And by the way, I have on Twitter here, Cassidy has asked me for a picture. So I will be tweeting. If you go to my Twitter page and you click on tweets and replies, because I'm not sending this out to all my followers. I'll send this to Cassidy. But if you go to my Twitter, if you hit follow and then you click on tweets and replies, I will be sending a picture of this monstrosity to Cassidy. And realize it's a lot better now. Now it's about a 2.5 on a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being I want to die. When I got out of the first place, it was negative 16 on a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being I want to die. It was absolutely awful. Worst of my life. It's amazing that I have survived this experience. Coming up next, we do it each and every day. It's the best thing we heard today, and today's is a doozy. You're listening to episode 20. Of Offsides with Mark and Lonzo. It's right here on ESPN Upstate. It's Offsides with Mark and Lonzo right here on ESPN Upstate. So I wanna mention this, by the way. A check on the health there text line. No chain barbers. Signed, Penny. So here's the deal. You know, I didn't have any recommendations as the new guy of where to go. And this particular chain of barbers, stylish place, I've gone to both in my previous two stops. In Tampa, I had the best stylist ever that worked at this, you know, national chain of barbers, right? And then I also had one in Texas that was fantastic. And it was like an hour, like, you know, I would be in and out of there in 15 minutes. And it was a great cut every single time, right? Fantastic. And so I'm thinking that I'm safe going to the same one. And I didn't know that maybe here it's not as good, you know? And I go in, and ever since that day on Friday, I've had a flood of recommendations coming in for good stylist places, for good barbers, and, you know, maybe I need to learn from my mistakes.
See, I get one thing.
Penny says I didn't ask her. That's the problem.
Yeah, that's because if you look around this building— you're going to have a hard time. I mean, if you looked around the building and you think, okay, he gets his hair done well, let me ask him. There, nobody in here has got good hair.
I wouldn't ask you.
Well, definitely. I get my hair cut twice a year. That's it.
Yeah, I wouldn't ask you. Not that you have bad hair. It's anybody that can rock the hair you do, I can appreciate it. I'd never be able to pull off your hairstyle. But no, I wouldn't ask Lonzo where to go. And that may be why I ended up where I ended up on Friday. But again, man, everywhere else I've been, that's been a good spot. It's been a great place, you know? So what do you know? What do you know? Gosh, man, it's just, Lonzo, if you could have seen me, man, I just was frozen in my chair in horror. And this dude took an hour. He took an hour to butcher my hair, worse than it has ever been butchered in my life.
I have never had an hour-long haircut before.
I was there an hour, and he kept making it worse and worse and worse, and I just froze like a deer in headlights. I couldn't even say a damn thing. It was a really traumatic experience.
Maybe he knew who you were.
And maybe I said something he didn't like.
Did you ever think about
that? Yeah, I did. I did. That did cross my mind. I wondered if he said, hey, guess I cut Mark Ryan's hair today, and I got over on him. It's just, man, I got to listen. This is why we do the Greenville Go-To, guys, so you guys can share with each other places that you like in the area and so that you can tell me where to go and where to avoid. This week on the Greenville Go-To, I've got some company coming up to visit me this week. What would you do if you had company coming to visit you this particular week? In any case, it is time to get to the best thing we heard today.
Okay, good win for the Apollos. Guys played pretty well. Defense was super after the first drive or so. They stayed on the field a little bit, and then I think that touchdown right before the end of the first half sort of gave us some breathing room, and then defense took over, and we sputtered a little bit offensively. But, yeah, Garrett threw a lot of good balls. Receivers caught just about everything, and we got some guys open. It's always good to see guys open, and so it's a good win for us.
I hope I've made a good impression on you guys here, but nobody could have made a better impression than the Alliance of American Football did in Weekend 1. That was some badass football with kind of new progressive rules that the NFL would really be smart to look at, man. It was great to see high-quality football and some familiar names like Trent Richardson playing. Thanks so much, everybody. Stay tuned for Straight Up with Sturge. For Lonzo, I'm Mark, right here on Offsides, ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.